name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Today we continue on the theme of Pascha, which is enlightenment. This is what salvation is, enlightenment. To know God intimately. This is salvation. Now, one can say that it would be like going from darkness to light, which is what this man did. A man who was born blind, in fact, he was born without eyes. That's why everyone was so perplexed about this man. Sounds like the one who sat and begged, but he doesn't look like him. Well, he didn't look like him because he had eyes now. Before, he just had holes where his sockets were. The services speak about that. Last night they spoke about that. This man was blind, could not see. We are this man. Remember, when we read the scriptures, we read about healings, we read about sins, we read about virtues. We have to put ourselves in this place. Would we be virtuous? Would we sin? Are we blind like this man? Well, of course, we're blind. There's many things we don't see. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He came to enlighten. He came to give us eyes. He came to help us to be able to see correctly and well. So the man is sitting begging, and the Lord sees him. And the disciples ask, well, why was he born blind? Was it the sin of his parents? The Lord says, no, so that the glory of God might be made manifest. Sometimes things come upon us because of our sins, sometimes because of other circumstances, but everything works to the glory of God. Everything is in God's providence. Then he says something which is kind of odd. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Why does he say this? Well, he's obviously making a metaphorical allusion to the man's blindness, right? He's the light of the world. He will help this man to see, and us to see. Now, a man can only work when it's day. A man can only work when he sees. This has two meanings. One is that in order to be a Christian, one must know God. Otherwise, you can't work as a Christian. You can't follow the commandments unless you know God. And of course, the only way to know God is to desire to follow the commandments, to reach out to him and ask him for help. But if you're in the night, not a believer, or not living as a believer, then you can't do any good work. Also, this means that the only time to follow the commandments available to us is our lifetime. After our death, we cannot repent. This is the day for us. Our lifetime is the day. And let us work during the day, because at night you can't work. After your death, you can no longer repent. You can no longer try to follow the commandments. God will judge us after this point. So during the day, let us do good works. So then he spits on the ground and he makes clay out of this with the dirt and the spittle, and he anoints his eyes. And he tells the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. What a bizarre command. To wipe dirt over his face so that mud would be streaming down his cheeks, and then tell him to go stumble to the pool of Siloam. You know, things were not so easy for blind people back then. It wasn't as, you know, they didn't have seeing-eye dogs. People thought if you were blind or deaf or a leper or something, it was because of your sins, so you were judged by everyone. Most likely people would laugh at him because of the way he looked. Probably they didn't get out of his way. Maybe children would, you know, throw rocks at him or jeer at him. He had to go to the pool of Siloam. The Lord did not explain why. He just said, go do this. This is also for our instruction. This is how we can become enlightened, by doing what the Lord says. Some of the Lord's commands to us do seem inexplicable. We can't understand them. Perhaps they're not as strange as allowing our face to be painted with mud and going and washing in a pool in some distant place. But throughout our life, constantly, we're encountering things we don't understand, and we sometimes, often I would say, we don't feel the Lord to be so near because of our sins. We have to go on faith that everything the Lord tells us is good. I think people not understanding this idea of obeying the Lord, even when we don't understand exactly what he's telling us. People who don't understand this idea, those kind of people, they falter when they in fasting, or they falter in their prayers, or they don't go to church so often. Why? Because they don't feel immediate results from these things. Well, no one is going to feel immediate results from these things. There's not an immediate wonderful feeling when we fast or when we pray or when we go to church. Sometimes there is. It's a wonderful thing when these things happen. But for the most part, it is just effort that we're making. And we don't always understand why. If we just obey the Lord, if we believe that the Holy Spirit truly does work in His church and enlightens us, then we will follow His lead. He tells us to fast, we will fast. Perhaps we're still terrible sinners. Perhaps we still have a bad day. Perhaps we sin in other ways, but we have kept the fast. Not something to be proud of, but just something to do because the Lord commands. Perhaps we don't pray very well, but we still attempt to pray in the morning and in the evening. Perhaps we come to church and we don't pay much attention. We get bored. Our feet hurt, our back hurts, but we come anyway because the Lord commands. This is good for us. We can't understand what grace the Lord is giving to us even today, even at this moment. We can't see it. Most of us can't feel it. But the Lord is giving us grace. But He isn't explaining everything perfectly. Just like He didn't explain to the blind man. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. So He did. So must we. We're blind, remember, too. There's a lot we don't see and we don't understand. So when the Lord tells us to do things, we do them. Now, of course, you have to hear the Lord if you're going to be doing things that He tells you, right? We hear the Lord through our holy tradition. We also hear the Lord through the Holy Spirit within us. He abides in us, doesn't He? He speaks to us, either directly of His own prerogatives, or through our guardian angel, or through the saints, or through one of us sinful ones. But He speaks to us constantly, all the time. We have to follow. We have to obey without questioning. This is a difficult thing. We're such smart people nowadays. We think we're so intelligent. We look at everything and we have to understand it. Why is this? How can we understand how a soul becomes reborn? We can't understand. But the Lord can make it happen. We certainly believe this is possible. So don't try to understand everything that goes on in your life. Work out your salvation now. Today, this moment, whatever you're doing now, do it for the Lord. Be obedient. Listen so that you can hear commands. And then do them. So the man washes in the pool of Siloam after enduring whatever tortures he had to endure on the way. And he came away seen. Not only seen, but with new eyes. So nobody recognized him. Now, he didn't know who Jesus Christ was. You know, he was a little bit out of society's being in the know. Because he was blind, he would sit and beg. People didn't talk to him. He was just a sinner. He was born in sins. People don't want to talk to sinners. They had a very unenlightened view. When actually, when you see a blind man, you should think, I'm blind like him. Not, I'm good and he's a sinner. So he didn't know much about Christ at all. Perhaps didn't even know the name. Or perhaps had only heard the name here and there. But he certainly had never seen him. So the neighbors are confused. Who is this man? And the Jews are up in arms because it's the Sabbath day. Now, the sins of the Jews contributed to this man's full enlightenment. The Lord often takes evil and turns it to good. Now, it was a Sabbath day. And on the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to do any work, right? But is it work to heal? Of course not. The Lord in other places made a big point of it. On the Sabbath day, if you bring your ox or your ass out to water and they fall into the ditch, aren't you going to get them out? Of course. On the Sabbath day, we should be honoring God. How better to honor God than to be like God? Than to be compassionate as God is compassionate? Of course one should heal on the Sabbath day. Absolutely. The idea that this is work, what a bizarre idea. This is participating in the mercies of God. One cannot call it work. God does the healing. So they began to question this man. And finally, they come to the point where they really don't want to believe. So they call his parents. And his parents say, well, this is our son, but, you know, he's of age. Ask him about who healed him. Because they were afraid that they would be put out of the synagogue. Now, part of salvation, becoming saved, is, of course, to obey God. But another part is to have courage. If you don't have any courage, then you won't be saved. You have to have courage to live as a Christian in this world. And in every age, one had to have courage to stand on one's principles. These parents were afraid. They had no courage. So they pass it off. He's of age. Don't bother us. Don't kick us out of the synagogue. So they go and talk to the man again. And they ask him, how did he open your eyes? And they're so foolish. Isn't it clear that a miracle has occurred? Isn't it clear that his eyes were anointed, the sockets were anointed, and that the Lord created eyes? I mean, there it is. There's the proof right in front of you. His parents are saying who he is. Everybody knows he used to be the blind beggar. And everybody knows now that he has eyes and he sees. Why not just believe what is evident? But they couldn't do it because of hatred, because of jealousy. So they say a last time, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Now, this is where his enlightenment is almost coming to fruition. Now he can see, but he doesn't know Christ yet, right? But the stupidity of man, the foolishness, the jealousy, he's starting to understand. These people don't want to recognize the miracle because they hate the one who made the miracle. So he says, wonderfully ironic statement. Incredibly humorous statement, actually. And he says, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Well, he certainly knew the answer to that question. Took a lot of courage to say that. Took a lot of courage to say, you're all being fools. It was clear that he was mocking them. And so, of course, what the result is foreordained, one would know what would happen with such proud men. They say, you're born in sins and you try to teach us. And they cast him out of the synagogue. A courageous man. Now, the Lord sees him later. And because he had been obedient and gone to the pool of Siloam, he had gained eyes. And also because he had used his eyes, not just his physical eyes, but the eyes of his soul to see the truth when he was being interrogated and to stand up for it, the Lord enlightened him by showing him who he was, and he worshipped him. This is a blueprint for how we are to be saved. All of us have blindness to varying degrees. The Lord will give us instructions to be healed, but they aren't always going to be exact instructions according to our liking, with everything in detail. In fact, almost never will they be like that. He will say, follow the commandments. Listen to your guardian angel. Listen to the Holy Spirit who is enlightening you hourly, minute by minute, day by day. Not exact instructions. And we are to follow. And also, we must be courageous. Christianity is not for cowards. If you are a coward, you're not a Christian. That doesn't mean we sometimes don't feel fear. Feeling afraid has nothing to do with whether or not you're a coward. Courage is doing what's right, no matter what the consequences might be, whatever men can do to us, or whatever circumstances can do to us. Courage is following God, because he is true and he is good. And this is what this blind man did. He followed God. He obeyed him, and then he stood up, and he confessed him. Now we must do this too, in our life. Not only by the way we live, but sometimes by the things we say. If people around you don't see that you are Christian, I don't mean by the fact that you have an icon in your cubicle or that you have a nice Orthodox cross upon your breast. I mean by the way you live. If they don't see this, then you're not confessing him. They should see you're different. They should see that when a dirty joke is said, you don't have anything to do with it and you walk out of the room. They should see that when gossip is started about someone, but you don't participate. They should see you confessing, having the courage to stand up and be counted as a Christian. The Lord has opened your eyes. He's given you baptism. He's given you everything you need for your salvation. Now confess him by the way you live. May we be like the blind man. A man of courage, a man of conviction, a man of integrity. Let's have integrity about our religion. Let's do what we say we believe. Let's have the courage to do it. And let's have the obedience in our heart to follow the Lord in whatever he tells us. May God help us. Amen.